For September 13th, this is Ballot Box, the Pointer's coverage of the 2021 Canadian federal election. Reporting today, Sam Graywall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ballot Box. And today we're really excited to have with us Mustafa Farouk, the CEO of the National Council of Canadian Muslims. He's a lawyer. He's done a lot of work in human rights. And he's going to talk with Ballot Box about what the parties need to do, whoever forms government, but all parties, everyone who's participating in the social discourse and the political discourse and governance in Canada, what they need to do to address the growing problem of Islamophobia in this country.
As Canadians, we make a pact with one another that we will look out for each other, take care of each other, respect each other. Well, for the Muslim Canadian community, that pact has been broken too many times. It was broken last fall in Etobicoke and in Quebec City, in far too many places across the country. Islamophobia is real.
We're going to start, though, with our reporter, Natasha O'Neill, who's done a lot of work covering the issue of Islamophobia, specifically in Peel, but also across the country. And she's taken a look at all of the party platforms to see what they are proposing to do about Islamophobia.
In the article that I wrote for The Pointer, we were talking to a lot of the city members and asking a lot of questions about like what has been done. And unfortunately, things have been done. There's been a lot of statements and declarations against Islamophobia, but there hasn't been a lot of action, like tangible action. And then when we look to the election, we're electing the next prime minister, we're electing the next party to hopefully help us fix these sorts of problems. But in the platform of the Conservatives, racism, I controlled found words specifically for this podcast, and I tried to control find racism and Islamophobia. And in the Conservative platform, neither of those words actually come up. They talk a lot about hate, and specifically they mention anti-Asian hate, but that was in regards to coronavirus and specifically talking about China. They did also mention that they would provide more money to law enforcement to investigate these sorts of hate crimes. But when in reality, you're not even naming in your platform Islamophobia that it exists, it's not a very confident feeling you have, I guess. In the other three platforms, they do mention Islamophobia and racism. The Liberal platform really talks about what they're going to do next. And they said that if they were reelected, they would present a national plan to combat hate. And it would include specific recommendations from this national summit that happened a few months ago. The Green Party had a small little area where they said they would condemn and reject any sort of extremist ideas. They would also want to better develop these guidelines to address the weaponization of free speech. So a lot of times people think that they can get away with saying like horrible, hateful things because it's a freedom of speech. The Green Party is trying to focus on making those lines a little bit more set in stone. The NDP seem to have mentioned Islamophobia the most, and they specifically called a lot in their public safety portion of their platform to actually end police violence mostly and have a zero tolerance for use of force. They also wanted hate crime units, counter online hate, violent extremism. Their portion in their platform was actually quite long, so very detailed. But there's very different calls for action across the three platforms. They all have pretty good ideas. It'll be interesting to see exactly what the community needs and what they want from this election.
Okay. And Mustafa, thanks so much again for being with us. What have you seen during the campaign so far from the party leaders looking at the party platforms in terms of addressing the issue of Islamophobia?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank The Pointer for having me. And thanks for having me on this really important show and addressing this really critical conversation. I think one of the sad parts about this election has been the lack in general of conversations around systemic racism, which is especially troubling given the fact that it has certainly animated the lived experiences and realities of many Canadians over the last 2 years, especially since the beginning of the pandemic. So to dive in, I think what we've been seeing from different political parties in their platforms, specifically looking at Islamophobia, I think varies very much so across the different relevant political parties depending on which one you're looking at. I think all of the political party leaders have in some way addressed the concerns around Islamophobia, either in platform or not in platform. But I think all of them need to be doing far more to put substantive measures put forward to address the rise of Islamophobia.
Could you detail three or four of those substantive measures, like what NCCM, you know, a lot of the diverse Muslim communities in Canada would like to see, what you would like to see?
Right. So, I mean, I think let's start with the easy stuff. It's very hard for government to talk about a commitment to tackling Islamophobia when there is no specific resources allotted in government at all to tackling Islamophobia specifically. What we're calling for is what we think is pretty common sense. We're calling for dedicated resources and a special office that's dedicated to tackling Islamophobia within the federal government. We think this is especially important given that we've seen Canada's had more killings of Canadian Muslims motivated by hate in the G7 than in any other country over the last 5 years. And I think that that is a record that Canada, you know, if we're serious, if political leaders are serious about addressing the problem of Islamophobia, you've got to commit to resources. But beyond the resources question, I think our leaders need to do a lot to tackle violence and Islamophobia by addressing its roots, both systemically, but also by making sure that they do things like commit to reform of the criminal code and change the way that we deal with hate crimes. Make sure that we fix the way that hate crime supports work. Develop out a fulsome public messaging campaign. At one point, 70% of Canadian men, you know, used to smoke. That number has dropped down to 10%. Right now, we have an Islamophobia problem in this country where 42% of Canadians have suspicions about their Canadian Muslim neighbors. We can address that the same way that we've addressed other public health issues, through consistent, clear, well-funded public messaging. That's going to take investment, that's going to take time, and that's going to take resources.
Mustafa, you've worked directly in government before. You served as a senior staffer to a provincial cabinet minister. You know how government operates. At the federal level, something that is clear to the pointer in a lot of the reporting that we have done is when we look at online discourse and online hate, it is clear. We referenced a study that was done, I believe, last year or within the last couple of years, a joint British study. It was actually commissioned by a Canadian NGO or government-affiliated body. And that report found that of all categories of hate crime in Canada, anti-Muslim rhetoric, Islamophobic discourse was the single biggest category of online hate that was observed by these researchers who ran a lot of data and did a whole bunch of background work to take a look at what the nature of online hate looked like in Canada. When you address that issue of the internet space being just this Wild West breeding ground for Islamophobia, for hate, and these individuals, whether it's on the commercial side and the tech companies, the internet service providers, the social media platforms, the search engine platforms, and obviously the individuals posting this material, on both sides of that, what would you like to see the federal government do to address online hate?
Sure, I think that, you know, we've been very clear about this, both in parliamentary committees, but also publicly and in many other forums. We do support social media regulation through an online hate regulator, but with an important caveat that we think it needs to be something, A, that is constitutionally sound and that's been vetted and gone through with a fine-tooth comb by, you know, some of the best civil liberties folks in the country and internationally. We are obviously engaging in a new area, and so we're going to need to talk to the best people to think about how we can make sure that we aren't, you know, in our attempt to make sure that we are rooting out online hate, that we're not circumventing very important, critical things to our democracy, like freedom of expression or freedom of the press. Secondarily, I think what's also critical and something we need to be focusing on is we need to make sure that if we do have online hate regulation, that it's accessible to Canadians. You know, one of the things that you may have heard about is that the government reintroduced legislation vis-a-vis bringing back Section 13 into the CHRA. Section 13 of the CHRA was a section that used to be there that can be used to target those who put out hate online, but that had a very low utilization rate because you typically had to be a lawyer in order to be able to access Section 13. We think that is inherently problematic. That's why we are suggesting very strongly that the CHRA be opened for legislative review. And you may have seen in the Liberal platform a willingness to actually do that now.
When you look at some of the party platforms that have been put forward for this election, you touched on it briefly. What are you impressed with? What are you disheartened about? I have to say it, the Conservative platform barely even references issues like, you know, systemic discrimination, racism, Islamophobia. And, you know, we know, again,
it doesn't reference them at all, right?
I shouldn't have said barely references. I should have made that clear. There's no reference in the platform to those issues. And again, since you were able to pick up on that so quickly, I imagine you've thought about it.
The rise in Islamophobia and other forms of hate in this last year are the pandemic of darkness amid the COVID-19 pandemic. We know the Muslim community is stronger than this or any act of terrorism committed against you. We know the city of London is stronger than this or any act of terrorism. And I hope some in the Muslim community today find some solace in this passage from the Quran that I read in the House of Commons today. Good and evil are never equal. Repel evil with good and be patient.
What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's disappointing, especially considering that Leader O'Toole has spoken about racism. He's spoken about hate. He's spoken about Islamophobia. He's spoken about anti-Semitism. But the refusal to actually include those terms in the platform, I think, speaks to a question about priority. And I think that is the number one sort of thing that's been animating my thoughts, which is that, you know, a lot of leaders, a lot of the politicians, they're happy to show up at the vigils. They're happy to kind of express their condolences when bad things happen. But are they willing to make fighting hate a priority? It's been disappointing to many of us watching that that doesn't always seem to be the first priority for many politicians during this election cycle.
When you see the Conservative Party, for example, have to deal with an issue, I don't know if you've followed it, but the Lisa Robinson issue. Lisa Robinson was a former Beaches East York candidate, and she was only very recently, just days ago, finally dumped by the Conservatives. She made some pretty egregious comments on social media. I can read some of them out. They're pretty hard to even listen to, but, you know, something that she posted on social media in the past, I think this was back in 2017, I'll quote this. This is a quote right from just dumped Conservative candidate Lisa Robinson. Quote, "Muslims go home if our Canadian heritage offends you so much. Bring back the Lord's Prayer in schools too, and it is called Christmas." So again, she essentially said, you know, Muslims go home if any aspects of our Canadian heritage offend you. And she posts this out on social media. What does it say to you when so clearly the Conservatives had no issue with this? Only until a very fierce backlash just a few days ago did they finally take the step after for weeks ignoring it or making excuses or denying that, you know, her candidacy posed any kind of problem. Only a few days ago did they finally dump her as a candidate.
Today of all days, the 20th anniversary of September 11th, but over the past months, after the terrible attack in London, Ontario, on the Afzal family, no party has any problem recognizing that we need to condemn Islamophobia. But when ICRA put forward M103 to recognize Islamophobia, the amount of hate and vitriol directed at her, including from members of the Conservative Party who voted against it, Aaron O'Toole was one of them who voted against it.
The Conservatives are trying to recast themselves as being more moderate, more centrist. How important is it to bring that party and those Canadians who've traditionally supported the Conservatives and who have similar values, how important is it to you to engage with them?
Well, I mean, I think the Lisa Robinson case is actually kind of a case in point. When we became aware of the tweet, we were very clear in dialoguing with the Conservative Party that if she had made those statements, we expected her resignation by the end of that day. And, you know, we were pleased to see that they did dump her at the end of the day, because I think the reality is that that is the most basic thing that we expect from our political leaders, that they don't countenance the most egregious, obvious forms of hate. Now, there, I think there's a bigger kind of systemic question as to, you know, why are there people who feel like this in general, and how do they get into a position where they can run for office, especially, you know, given vetting procedures that typically happen in parties. I think those are critical and important questions to ask. I will just note for the record that, you know, the day that we did ask the Conservative Party to dump her, if those allegations were true, she was terped as a candidate for them.
And I would imagine you see that as important progress. It's one thing for the NDP to be progressive because that's their brand. That's who they are. Those are the types of Canadians that that party appeals to, who align with the same values. But to see the Conservatives take, you know, pretty bold action, you know, I did just a few minutes ago criticize them for ignoring it for a while, because if I'm not mistaken, I think some of her background, you know, had been raised a while back. It might not have been that specific tweet, but given that when the tweet itself was isolated and the NCCM, your organization, put forward your demand, that they responded to it with bold action immediately, I imagine that that must have been quite uplifting for you.
I mean, I think in one sense, I was pleased to see them take action. But, you know, if I can be frank, we see so much hate every single day that it's just kind of like, it's just sort of a whole, like a dull feeling, you know? It's like, oh, well, a really person with some real terrible views is no longer, I suppose, in the running to represent us, which I suppose is a good thing. But also it's just like, oh, what is happening to our country that these kinds of views can be countenanced by anyone who's willing to put their name forward and then be completely unapologetic about it?
And I suppose it's setting, despite what I just said about it, must have been somewhat heartening and uplifting to see the Conservatives, you know, take a bold step, setting the bar so low, you know, where it's...
I think that's the bigger question, right? Like, how low can we set this bar?
Right. And speaking of the Liberals and the NDP, the Liberals have some language in their platform. The NDP, of all the platforms I've looked at, they have the most bold statements. They have the broadest, you know, platform on anti-racism, systemic discrimination, Islamophobia. I was a little bit disappointed to see the NDP platform not present specific policy directives and specific ideas for legislative change, public policy change.
I don't claim to have all the answers, but I put three things before you. One, never again should any political leader ever use Islamophobia for political gain. That can never happen again. Never, ever. Secondly, the real and urgent threat to Canadians' lives, the real and urgent threat is coming from hate. It's coming from extremist right-wing ideology. It's coming from white supremacy. So let's put resources towards the real and urgent threat against Canadians. And finally, I know my time is up. I'll just wrap up with this last point. We need to tackle online hate. In each case of hate against Muslims, in each case where we saw violence against Muslims, in the Quebec shooting, in the killing of a brother in Toronto, in the violence against Muslim women in Edmonton, we know that this is happening from radicalization happening online. So we have to be serious about fighting hate online so that hate has no space to radicalize future violent actions.
What were your thoughts on the NDP and the Liberal platform?
Well, what I can say is actually, this could be the first conversation I do about the NDP platform on Islamophobia. So the NDP just sent us a letter with more specific commitments around Islamophobia. And those commitments include, for the first time, calling for a special envoy on Islamophobia in accordance with our asks. But, you know, we think that there are now some positive stances, you know, clear policy procedures that are being committed to. I'll also note that the NDP endorsed NCCM's ask calling for a national action plan on white supremacy, which we think is critically important. Obviously, yesterday was 1 year anniversary of the killing of Mohammed Afzal Zavis, who was killed allegedly at the hands of a man with affiliations to a white supremacist group, the 098. And we've been pleased to see, of course, a number of white supremacist groups get dismantled. But obviously, there was a handful out of the 300 that are currently operating in Canada. And so I think we need to see much more action taken. However, I will say that if there is points that I find disappointing in the NDP platform, it's certainly the lack of confronting Bill 21 clearly through a statement that, the NDP will get involved in our court challenge. I would expect that, any party that's truly committed to progressive values or frankly, just, any sort of sense of a functioning democracy understands that we have to protect basic civil liberties, like freedom of expression, like freedom of religion.
Mustafa, you would be familiar with Iqra Khalid, the Mississauga Liberal MP in the 2015 to 2019 term of government, right around when the just brutal, horrific shooting at the Quebec City Mosque took place. She brought forward not a piece of legislation or a bill, but a formal binding motion to call for specific action to address and to confront Islamophobia. I thought the most significant component of that motion that is now part of policy was the collection of data. So to be able to get the tools in place to then look at what's going on in the criminal justice system, in the courts, with policing, with online hate. So then using those tools, using that information, steps can be taken to come up with plans to address the root causes of Islamophobia. What were your thoughts about the motion, what you've heard since the work that the Liberal government did around that motion?
Sure. So let me be clear on the record that, we were very supportive of M103. Long, we think that it was a critical motion. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of got confused to think that it was some sort of law that made Islamophobia illegal. It did not do that. But it was a motion set to decry the rise of Islamophobia and to commit to looking at potential policy steps to deal with it. I will note that the question of collection of race-based data is not sort of fully complete. And of course, I do think it's a critical step that we need to continue to look at and to work on. But I will also note its limitations. So in other words, just knowing that a problem exists and where it exists from does not necessarily mean that you're going to take action to deal with the problem. We've seen all these killings of people. We've seen attacks on Muslim women from Hamilton to Edmonton to Vancouver. Brazen things happening in the streets. That doesn't necessarily mean we're doing anything about it. It's that kind of challenge that, yes, you have the information, you have the data, how are you responding to it? That often occupies a lot of what I think about on a day-to-day basis.
I really appreciate you taking the time, like all the work you do on behalf of Canada's diverse Muslim communities. Thanks so much to Mustafa Farouk, the CEO of the National Council of Canadian Muslims, for joining us. And I really do hope that the party leaders and whichever party forms government really takes a serious look at these substantive pieces of action, everything that the NCCM has called for. There was a large national forum that was held in the summer, towards the end of the summer. It brought together a real range of voices, not just within the diverse Muslim communities in the country, but from many other stakeholder groups, government leaders, etc. I hope a lot of the asks and a lot of the resolutions that came out of that summit on Islamophobia will be taken seriously by the next government. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.
BallotVox was hosted by Sam Graywall, produced by Anukul Thacker, and yours truly. Join us tomorrow for continuing coverage of the 2021 Canadian federal election. I'm Jeff Chalmers. Thank you for listening. See you then.